Okay, Molly.
You're on, sir.
Good job.
Thank you. Call this meeting to order. It's the Oceana Community Services District, Wednesday, September 26, 2012, 6:30 p.m. Carol Ann, can I get a roll call, please?
President Guerrero.
Present.
Vice President Lucy.
Present.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
Director White.
Present.
Just one second. Let me make sure my cell phone's on silent. And Director Lucy as well. If we could have the, moving on to item number three, the flag salute.
I heard you there.
Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to item number four, public comment. We haven't gotten to item number six. I do intend to pull item 9C at this time, but why don't we go on to item number four.
Larry Bross.
Larry?
Well, I don't know whether I'm on, I don't know what's on the agenda. If I'm speaking about some item that would be, I don't see anything listed.
Okay. Well, Larry, the agenda hasn't been approved yet, so why don't you go ahead and speak on any item in district business.
I'd like to just say that.
Can you
go to the podium, please,
sir? Over there now.
We have a podium with a mic.
Put that there to confuse us.
What's under the hat?
Yeah, I attended the trial by the Regional Water Board, and I made a statement there. I want to make just about the same statement here. While the sanitation district might be liable, I thought that the Attorney General, who was trying the case in front of the Water Board, only mentioned the sanitation district. I thought that the county, for the failure to prevent the flood, should also have been brought into the action. And just for the education of this, remember the Arroyo Grande Creek did not cause any of this problem. The problem was created by Meadow Creek. Meadow Creek is the creek that goes along Highway 1. And nothing had been done, it seems to me, to fix that problem. The flap gates were kept closed. There was nobody there on that Sunday. I was there. You know, there's a claim that if Meadow Creek is higher than the Arroyo Grande Creek, if you open up the flat gates, it won't flood in. First of all, it's very difficult to know whether it's higher. Now, they do have equipment now that will determine this, but I believe they didn't have it hooked up at that point. And there was no crew out there. And I recall that in 82, when we had the big flood that knocked down the Pismo Pier, that we had never flooded. And also, just one more point, remember that we had work done at Grover, which put all that water quickly, remember all the construction that was done down at Grover, which put that water quickly into Meadow Creek. And I just wonder whether the county was aware of all that. And I'm concerned about this coming year. I don't see anything that they've done that's going to alleviate this. So I think there's things that we ought to do. I think we ought to be contacting the county and finding out what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burrows. And Tom, is there anybody else that's just made its public comment slip?
Julie Tacker.
Ms. Tacker, good evening.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I wanted to speak quickly to some things on and off your agenda. The first item that is not on your agenda, and I had hoped that it would be, is that your board would take a position on the seismic testing project that PG&E has proposed. You did take a position on the APCD rulings, and I thought that since we're talking about beach closures and impacts to the environment and the economic impact of dead animals on the beach, and again, beach closures, I thought this would be a good place for your Community Services District Board to take a stand. You as individuals still can. I encourage you to write letters to the Coastal Commission. They are meeting October 10th. Some items on the cash disbursements that I wanted to get some clarification and ask some questions about. I am in receipt of a July 17th meeting from Mr. Geisland to Mr. Wallace regarding the administrative fees collected by the Community Services District for services with regard to the billings over there for them. And in that letter, Mr. Geisland says that he's going to start charging the Sanitation District in July more than the allotted amount that's budgeted for every year from the SAN District. And it's difficult for me to tell by looking at the warrants if that billing has already begun. Something else that I saw in the warrants is it appears that your directors are billing for committee meetings, and I encourage that you are compensated for committee meetings, but I believe the government code requires that you write written reports to receive that compensation, and then it made me wonder. I understand that serving on the Sanitation District, Mr. Guerrero does receive a stipend from the Sanitation District, and I was unclear whether or not the representative to the Fire Authority receives a compensation from the Fire Authority, or if you're compensating. So if I could get those questions answered, I'd appreciate it very much. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Mr. Edwards?
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. First of all, I'd like to express my continued disappointment with the form and content of the agenda, as well as the time limitations. Excuse me. The way it's formatted now and the content, the public is an extreme disadvantage in terms of knowing what's even on the agenda and what the substance of the items are. There are oftentimes late or no staff reports. Today's agenda is no exception. And generally, the GM appears to be ill-prepared for these meetings and the agenda items. Moving along, I'd like to discuss a little bit the Langstaff wrongful termination. And I was noting, listening to the administrative civil liabilities for the SAN District and how that's all cloaked behind litigation and so forth, and it seems that this Langstaff wrongful termination is similar in that the public is kept in the dark. As I will predict that you will be receiving a lawsuit as a follow-up to the claim you've already processed. My exact prediction is you'll have it by Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, the primary issue in this case is that your general manager fired a public employee like he was a private employee. That's what he knows how to do. And the fact is you just can't do that. You can't just willy-nilly fire public employees. And so while you're insured, there may be other damages, punitive damages possibly, that may not be covered under your insurance policy. So the moral of the SAN District story is settle as soon as possible, and that may be good advice here. Also, your last meeting on September 12th, you approved a contract with Water Systems Consulting, Inc., ostensibly to pursue grants and other funding for water infrastructure projects. And I think that was a big mistake. Water Systems Consulting, Inc., as you probably know, is involved in the Santa Maria Valley groundwater litigation and the whole Northern Cities Management Area discussion. So there's an automatic conflict, if not an appearance. The whole matter is premature, that is, pursuing grants because your financial house is not in order. And And also, just to remind you, this is the same consulting firm that perpetuated the seawater intrusion myth. So for all those reasons, I think that was a bad decision, and we'll see how it plays out, but I wouldn't hire them in the future. And then lastly, I'd just like to raise the question about future development Oceano. And as many of you know, Price Canyon is considering some big projects, hundreds of residential units, apartments, hotels, senior housing, and I would submit to your board that that development is Oceano development and not sprawl Pismo Beach development. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment this evening?
None at this time.
Moving on then to item number 5, special presentations or commendations. We have none. We have the consent agenda. There's the agenda review, and approval of minutes and cash disbursements. On the agenda review, I would pull item 9C, which is the letter to the county regarding the homeless services facility in downtown Oceano at this time.
Can you repeat that on the line?
I would pull item 9C at this time, which is the letter to county regarding the homeless services facility in downtown Oceano at this time. Give us more time to do some fact-finding. As to item number, go ahead.
Excuse me, Mr. President.
Yes.
You would like to pull it, and I support postponing it, but I'd actually like to put it at maybe quite possibly a special meeting in place for it.
What would be the correct
because
language on that?
Because I think that there's a timeline.
Okay.
Okay, so I would request, and I don't know if this is the proper time to ask this, during setting the agenda, so legal counsel have to direct me on that. But I'd like this to be pulled and put into a special meeting for Monday.
I think at this point, pulling it is appropriate while we're still collecting information and trying to get the facts together. Since a special meeting requires 24 hours notice, if we set it now, we may not have the information we need by Monday. We can certainly aim for Monday. And sooner rather than later, I agree that it should be done as soon as possible. I'd hate to get locked into a day and have
okay,
to
table
it. Okay,
but it only needs a 24-hour notice.
For a special meeting, yeah.
Okay.
So, as late as
Friday, it could be called need be.
We'll say to Sunday, actually, yeah.
Late as Sunday.
Yeah.
Wow. So they do include the weekends.
Yes.
Okay.
Weekends count.
Okay, so okay. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So okay.
I did have a comment on item B, the meeting minutes. They, under 7D, B, C, and E, it says we went to the ACLU meeting, and it was the ACL meeting. A subtle difference between the ACL and the ACLU.
So wait a minute. You're jumping from setting the agenda to correcting
the
minutes.
We're on the consent agenda, right, which is on item 6. That's correct.
Okay. So we don't have to vote on this change
right,
on
we'll
the
just
agenda. All right.
Well, I guess we would have to vote on that separately, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Does anybody else have any other changes to agenda? That would be item 6A. Yeah. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as modified?
I so move.
Director White has moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Item approved as modified.
Okay.
Then we're on to B and, oh, sorry, I did have a change as to B because it's ACL, not ACLU. So that's under 7. Does anybody else have any corrections to the minutes? Looks like we're going to go one at a time here.
I don't.
Director White?
No.
Is there a motion then?
I'll make a motion that we approve the September 26th Board of Directors meeting as received.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Hang motion. On. It's September 12th.
September 12th.
I'm sorry.
Let's redo that.
I withdraw my second.
Okay. Try that again, Lori.
Okay. Want me to redo this?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion for the Board of Directors meeting of September 12, 2012 to approve the meeting as received.
The minutes, you mean?
Minutes, I'm sorry. Yeah, minutes as received.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Try this again. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
Okay.
Cash disbursements. Are there any questions or comments on cash disbursements? I just had one, Tom. There was a commercial maintenance amount of $466. Is that the company name, commercial maintenance? This seems like a product description. Or,
I see what you're talking about. It's
Yeah, the name of the company is Commercial Maintenance. It's out of Farmingdale, New York, and we get this stuff called Green Gobblers, which we put in the lift station, which beats down all the grease, turtles, and that's the name of the company.
Okay.
And, Mr. Giesen, can you talk to me a little bit about the JPA, the 59? Is that just for payroll?
No, we have a financial commitment to the JPA that comes out of our property taxes.
Correct.
And if you remember, we didn't have a MOU or a labor agreement approved, and so we were functioning at the old number, and we're into the third month of that, and so this is the payment for the third month.
Okay.
That. So we normally take $700 $1,000 and change and divide it up by quarters, and we pay it quarterly, but because we had the inconsistency with the contract and everything, so we made monthly payments, and that's right. Why it's that amount. So next quarter, because we're finishing the quarter, obviously, next quarter there'll be a payment much larger than that will come through probably in November, December. It's our normal contribution, the same thing that Roy Grandy and Grover Beach make.
You know what I'm thinking is, well, maybe I won't do this under the warrants. Maybe I'll do it under fire or something like that because, you know, what people pay in property taxes actually goes towards services, you know, and there are areas of Oceano that are, you know, benefiting from, you know, having a JPA in place, right? And still the property taxes, I'm not sure they're being applied to the JPA. You know, they get sent to the county and then, you know.
No, they are. So we get a disbursement from the county.
But our disbursement would be bigger if it was actually levied to the actual number of hookups we provide.
I'm not following.
Well, for every hookup, there's a piece of property,
right,
and there's a taxation to that property.
Right.
And a portion of those taxes go towards local services such as fire and
right.
stuff.
Right. Oceana was originally set up as a fire district. There was a property tax assessment.
Right.
We get X amount of dollars. It ranges. When I first got here, the year prior was about $800,000. This year it was $770,000, of which we are supposed to apply 82% of that directly for fire services, which we do.
Right.
So,
but do the other JPAs still contribute the same amount as they did as when they were independent?
I guess that's my question. They follow the same formula. There's a big formula, and we actually pay less than the other two agencies because of our amount of citizenry that we have here. So yeah, that's very well documented. There's a clear accounting formula that
Great.
We follow. As a matter of fact,
later on, I'm going to actually ask for a presentation on the labor negotiations and the JPA. So
that's fine.
We'll cover it all under that.
That's fine.
Okay. Thanks.
I'm going to talk about part of it tonight.
Great.
Are there any other questions on cash disbursements?
Nope.
No.
Does anybody want to pull any of the warrants, or is there a motion to approve as presented?
I move that we accept cash disbursements.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number CA, OCSD Operations, General Manager Tom Giesman. Tom finally took a vacation, so.
Yeah, it was wonderful getting back. There's been several things that questions have come up on, so I want to address them. One, the grants that we are going after. We have a major water line repair. We have a water well upgrade that we need to do. We have a lift station that we have been making major repairs to, and we're also looking at upgrading that. We have several equipment purchases that we are trying to see if a grant will fit for us to purchase it versus spending the revenue that we have put aside for it. And then we have a sewer line upgrade that we need to do. So we have CDBG grants that are due, requests that are due on 10-12, which we're working on now, and we're working on those in-house. And then we have USDA grant money that's available that we are going to open discussions with them next week to find out what we qualify for there. We are, contrary to one of the speakers tonight, we do have the financial house in order. Two audits are in place. The third audit, we signed the timeline and contract, which you have in your you've been given a copy of the engagement letter that Caliber Tax and Audit was produced out of our meeting at the beginning of the week. So we are moving forward. I have money that I could go spend tomorrow, but if the world can crash into an end, we wouldn't have that money, and we need to take advantage of Oceano's economic status, which opens up a lot of doors for money to us. The other thing, is there any questions on that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. We've been cleaning up the accounting on 10-11 and 11-12, and this goes back to when Tyler was set up in March of 11, and the AS400 system was not used after February, and we've spoken several times that balances were loaded into Tyler that were the great mystery, and they still continue to be the great mystery. And we have just spent setting up parallel information into the system, and we are still off. And so we are doing a forensic to determine where that money in the February, March, April time frame went and why it wasn't accounted for correctly. And this has to do with utility billings and undocumented adjustments and everything else. So it's back to when we're peeling the onion back, and we keep peeling layers, we keep finding stuff. So I'm hoping that it's just a technical glitch, and then but I don't have an answer for you at this time on that. The other thing that we've discovered is that when they originally set up Tyler, we have four billing accounts. So you have water, you have Lopez, you have sewer, and you have sanitation district. And for some unbeknown reason, they never separated them for 9 or 10 months and just put it in miscellaneous. So we've had to go back in and recategorize all that and basically do almost a bill-by-bill determination to make sure that we can split that money out so we can get it to balance properly. The good news is on that is we've probably, and when you do something like that, you make the change, you have to enter all these journal entries. Well, I spent 2.5 hours yesterday going over all the different journal entries that we need to do, and instead of making them serially, we decided to make a wholesale change because we're going to have to engage Tyler, and every time we engage Tyler, it costs money, so we're trying to put that all in one big basket and take care of it at the same time. And at that time, too, because we know what the balances are in 910, we can put the proper balances in once we figure out where the that one lump of money is. In my heart, I think it's a paper issue, but I'm going to reserve comment until we get done with the forensics. During this process this week also, I get a advance list from the county on what my anticipated property taxes are going to be for the upcoming year. And the letter, which you got a copy and I believe is on the website, is that we are taking a $50,000 hit next year in property taxes. Now everybody's going to say, well, how does that happen? Well, Oceana was hit with a significant amount of foreclosures where people had their houses valued at, you know, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. A lot of those have sold anywhere from 150 to 200. So you now have a lower base from which to capture. We've had businesses close up, so there's a lower base there. And the other thing is that people that have their houses now know that their house isn't worth what they thought it is, so they're now the appeals board, they're going before the appeals board, and so we're seeing those reductions. The beauty of it is I anticipated this, and my budgetary number is pretty close to what I thought it was going to be, but it's still a $50,000 hit that we have to recover. The nice thing is because with the recapture of the FEMA money and all that, we have reserves that we could draw down on if we need to, but I don't think we're even close to that point yet. So for those of you keeping track at home, the budget this year was $773,000, and next year we're anticipating $724,000. Status of the JPA, all the labor issues have been resolved. We have not signed the labor agreement yet. There was a thing, and I believe I can talk about this. If we have a firefighter get burned, there's a special burn center called Grossman down in Southern California that all fire agencies like to go through because they have the best fire surgeons. And the tricky part was all our firefighters, even though we pay for them, they are classified as Arroyo Grande employees, and so there was a workman's comp issue that had to be addressed, which got addressed. We had to change some policies and procedures with respect to that, but that's all done. So the intention is to ink that tomorrow, or if not tomorrow, Friday, and that'll be done. And Director Hurdle, when she talks, can go into some of the other things. NCMA, we're going into the monitoring stage of the wells, where we have in our Sentry wells, in only NCMA, to my knowledge of both San Luis County and Santa Barbara County, we're the ones who put the transducers in, so we know every 15 minutes what the status of our wells are, so we get away from this, that this happened, this didn't. It's all documented. We're going into that cycle right now. And it takes about 45 days for that data to come forward, and once I get that data, then I'll be able to give you guys an update on that, and I'll probably do a presentation on the whole NCMA probably in the November time frame.
Great.
Look forward to hearing that.
I'm trying to think what else. Oh. I had an action item from the last agenda to talk with Steve Adams about SOI 1. That has been part of Arroyo Grande City since 1911.
I know.
And it has, there's no plans, even with the Pike Place building that they're putting in, for us to lose the existing revenue, but that's water revenue only. Roy Grandy will get in, and has no intention, and nor would I if I was them, give up the property tax revenue. It went before their board last night, and they had a whole bunch of discussion, and there were some concerned citizenry that opposed the project. And they believe, in talking with Steve Adams this evening before this meeting, they made some concessions, or trying to make some concessions, but there's some code issues now that have come into play. So they've continued it, and I don't know when the resolution is going to be. So that's my response to the.
Was there discussion regarding the LAFCO report or the LAFCO sphere of influence?
I'll get to that when we report on LAFCO.
But I'm saying, no, was Arroyo Grande's discussion based on that topic, or did they just happen to pick out that island? And
no, it's been there since 1911.
Yes, I understand it's been there since 1911, right?
Right.
Why was it a topic of discussion at their meeting?
It was a topic at their discussion because they're putting a development on there.
Okay.
And the development is, like all developments, demanding a lot of public input.
Okay. And do we know who's going to be doing their water and sewer?
The water will be done by Arroyo Grande because they put a condition on the Arroyo Grande put a condition on the developer that he had to run an additional main. Mm-hmm. Apparently that came before us and we turned it down, as I was told, but that's a condition of the development. The sewer is already handled by Arroyo Grande. We bill for the water for the surrounding area.
Okay, so we're not going to be providing any services to that development?
Just to that development, yeah.
We're not going to be providing any services to that development,
that's
right?
Correct.
Okay.
Right, as it stands right now.
So there's nothing for us to do there?
Nothing for us to do.
Is that it, Tom?
The other thing that we're in the process of now is scheduling our water releases. And I believe you have a letter, and it will go up on the website. I got it late today. About the state water is going to go down for their annual maintenance, and there's a schedule for that. And we've already scheduled our allotment of state water, which will be 65 acre feet every month. So even though they're down for 3 months, we've never had a problem catching up. And then we're in the process of rescheduling our Lopez water, which we have an allocation that we're going to get. And if you remember, we really haven't we're banking our Lopez water because we have reserves, or what they call surplus, and we have 188 acre feet of surplus on the books. We're going to carry forward 88 acre feet because in October, we're going to honor a Roy Grandy contract, and they're going to take the 100 acre feet that we're contractually obligated, and we will invoice them next month for $158,000 and change for that. And we will pinpoint that schedule. Now, you got to remember they're on different water years, but we're moving forward on that as well. And that's all I have to report at this time.
Thank you, Tom. Moving on to item number 7B, Board of Directors and Outside Committees. A, Director Angelo.
I have nothing.
Director Hurdle, item B.
Yes, I did attend JPA on Friday the 14th. We did have a swearing in of new reserved officers, and we did discuss the MOU. And at this time, I do not have, I have a draft, but the Grossman issue and the computing of the FLSA is going to change the figures that I have in the draft. So as soon as the MOU is signed and ratified, then I'll have those figures and explain what we've done. And that's all I have.
I know that you are looking for a new administrative assistant.
Yes.
And is that hiring still open? I don't think they've interviewed yet.
I think it may still be open, yes. Nancy
retired.
Yes. I think it's open for another week, maybe.
I think it's open until the end of the month.
Yeah.
Right? So if anybody's looking for a great job, JPA's hiring. Moving on to me, I went to the Sanitation District last Wednesday. There's only two items on the agenda. The first was a review of the ACL. The second was on the open agenda, not closed session. The second item was a purchase of a clarifier. It's a piece of equipment that's used, as I understand it, to inject chlorine into the process. When this particular clarifier is down, the cost to the district goes up by about $2,100 per week. The clarifier is about a $10,000 piece of equipment. They're going to buy a new one and cycle out the old one to repair it. The turnaround time on it is about, I want to say it's about 6 weeks. So they want to have one on the shelf because not having one on the shelf is more expensive than having one on the shelf at the time it goes down. The current one is in need of service, and so they're going to get an extra one, service the one they have, and have it ready to go in the future. And so that was the high and the low. Those who were paying attention, the deliberations for the administrative civil liability complaint are set for next Wednesday. That's October 3rd. At the water board, and at the Aero Vista Lane, I don't remember the address. 895, thank you, Julie. 895 Aero Vista Lane, and let me say this: there was an objection filed by the sanitation district. The proposal at this time is to have by the water board was to have closed session deliberations. They're asking that they be done in open session. Okay.
They're pretty time consuming. But anyway, the meeting was a relatively light one, but what I really did enjoy is that there's a quarterly budget report that's done at the Zone 3 meeting that happens, you know, every quarter. And so on 11/15, they'll be releasing a surplus this year. We will have a surplus, so that'll be good. And we could probably, you know, look at the budget and pretty much figure out what that surplus. Of course, you know, Oceana won't have a surplus because the county is basically the bank for a loan. But anyway, but what is refunded will be put back into to minimize that. So. There was no action taken by any of the Board of Supervisors, and it seems like the committee is just kind of working on the same same items, you know, this little Rodriguez Bridge that they've been talking about for 3 years. It might wash out someday, you know, so we got to think about it and plan about it now. Chain link fence around the reserve. You know, and that's about it. I mean, it was a relatively light meeting. One thing we did talk about is the scheduled releases, because when the dam went in, there was a lot of federal violations that occurred. Did I say that? Oh, but anyway, so they work very closely with a couple environmental organizations that are helping them to comply. One being NIMS, and so there is scheduled releases for supposedly, you know, rainbow trout, but I think there's spotted brown trout myself, but, you know, but they do the releases and they do comply with that night, and I think they're trying their best to work through the system, so that's all I have to report on as far as, if you know, formal meetings.
Thank you, Director Wilson. Director White, do you have any reports?
Yeah, I don't really have anything tonight.
Moving on to item number 8, public comments. Is there any public comment for this session?
Of course.
Tom? I see Ms. Tacker coming forward. Good evening again, Julie.
Hi again, I am Julie Tacker. My questions were answered in Mr. Geeslin's report about study area 1. So I'll go on. I,
I think the most interesting item on tonight's agenda for me was 9C. It's a bit of a mystery. There was no staff report, so it is on the agenda, so the Brown Act does allow the public to speak to it, but since we don't know what it is, there's really nothing to say. So I hope there's a thorough staff report accompanying it when it does come back. The ballot initiative is on your agenda tonight. There's, again, no staff report to say what the recommendation is from staff. My investigation of this is that, and the legal opinion from the county council, which would be an impartial opinion, is that the initiative is illegal, and as much as it sounds good, it's hurtful to the district. And I would encourage your voters to vote no and to further elect candidates that would vote to not sell permanent rights to water. Because that's really where the rubber meets the road, is in those candidates and in those directors. So I know it's kind of a mixed message, but I think that it's likely that it would be litigated in the future, and it may even be the district that has to overturn it. So then the cost is back on the ratepayer, and that's very, very unfortunate. The other item that I wanted to speak to was your closed session item, but there is no government code section to say what you're going into closed session for, and without that on the agenda, I don't believe you can go into closed session. So it is regarding your district engineer, and I would hope that you are considering going out for an RFP for a new district engineer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment? Mr. Edwards?
Of course.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President, board members. Perhaps your general manager could resume the Friday reports. That would be helpful. I think it's kind of fallen to once every other week or once a month, and perhaps he could get back on every Friday. It would be helpful. Then he wouldn't have such a long report. But what I wanted to do, first of all, is talk about Zone 11A. I didn't hear any updates on it. It's a $2.7 million project, and if you look at the project cost estimate, only $1 million is real on-the-ground improvements, pipe, blinds, pumps, and the like. So here's a project that is 60% plus soft costs, consultants, right-of-ways, and so forth. And it just raises the question, is this the best way to spend the money? And of course, this project's going to occur on the Oceano RV and mini storage facility, also known as the Oceano Airport. So that's going to be rather interesting to see how that plays out. Also, regarding Zone 3, I think it would be helpful. Ms. Lucy referenced work that's happening at Zone 3, and there's a habitat conservation plan, and I've mentioned this before, but I think it's worth hearing about the need for this habitat conservation plan and how much you're paying for it and what the ultimate benefits are. H.T. Harvey and Associates has been hired to work on this. They've been working for years with no tangible progress. So really, what is that HCP all about? Is it necessary? I'd also like to just touch briefly on the Sand District. You know the fines are at $1 a gallon right now, and they can only go up. It's important to settle that as soon as possible. And then lastly, regarding your closed session item, I'd like to offer, this is regarding the spill. It's a cartoon that you may have seen. John Wallace's firm has a new logo, and for the record, you can take a look at that. And I would encourage you to definitely change direction when it comes to district engineer based on his performance, both here and at the Sand District.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Or we can take a look at it. I think Director Lucy, do you need a break?
Yeah.
Okay. We're right at item number 9. I don't think. Oh, I'm sorry. We have more speakers. I apologize.
I'm sorry.
I apologize, ma'am.
Oh, just throw it at us.
You can make a paper airplane. And
it's Ann McMullen.
Ann, I'm sorry, what's your last name? Ann McMullen.
M-U-L-L-E-N.
Oh, yes.
I have two items. The first one is item 9A.
It's about the sphere of influence study area 1. I own one of those 39 houses. I heard in a roundabout way that this item was discussed at the last meeting, and that in addition to providing services, incorporation, or whatever it's called when it goes from city to county instead of county to city, was included in the discussion. I see that LAFCO recommends against any changes, and I would like to state that the residents of the affected area do not want any changes except for switching to Arroyo Grande water in the future. I recognize it affects your possible tax base, but that's the way the residents strongly feel. Since the residents of the study area did not have an opportunity to hear last meeting's discussion, please explain what was discussed and what is planned for that study area. In other words, we'd like information. And a clarification that came up a little few minutes ago on 9A, Director Lucy specifically asked Manager Gielson, what I want to know is, are you sure that the OCSD will not be providing sewer to the new apartment complex?
Yes.
That'll be AG sewer.
We're not providing sewer.
Okay. Because I thought I saw it somewhere that it was going to be connected to the Oceano sewer.
No.
Okay.
Well, eventually we all connect. Eventually. Because it all goes to the same plant.
We share the same plant.
Oh, okay, because it did say that it was going to go to Oceano on some plans.
No, we don't charge for it.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't charge them to have the plant on our
ground. But it says that it goes to the Oceano processing.
Yeah.
Okay. And item 9C, special meeting was for the homeless center was postponed till Monday, providing you can gather all information by that time.
We haven't set a date yet.
Okay. How will we know? It was potentially set till Monday?
No. It's not set at this time.
Okay. How will we know when the next meeting is regarding that?
It'll be posted to the website and at the district office here.
And there may be 24 hours notice?
Mm-hmm.
We also post those at the Triangle Park kiosk and
websites.
And when they're important, we also post them at Chacho's because it's amazing how many people go to Chacho's and know about a meeting. We and Central Market, so we do get it out there.
Okay, but it will also be on the website under
it'll be
board
special
meetings.
Meeting, and it'll have the date and time.
Got it. Thank you.
So, just edit. Can I just ask a very quick question?
Hold on a quick. We should let her finish her public comment.
Actually, that was it. I had my little thing about asking for information on, the plans for the study area 1, and then these two questions came up when I heard your. So go ahead.
Okay. So Oceano, you mentioned that. Okay.
But when there's an accident in front of my neighbor's house, and we call them, and they say that's county. We say no, that's before the city limit line. You need to send AGPD. Meanwhile, we'll watch the accident victim.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Sorry, you have to go.
No, that's okay. Thank you. Clarification is good. Communication is good. Thank you for addressing my question.
Is there any other public comment?
No.
All right. There was a question for a break. It is 7:24 p.m. Why don't we break until 7:30? That'd be a 6 or 7 minute break. Thanks, Dr. Lucy. Call this meeting back to order. It is 7:36 p.m. We're on to item number 9A. This is the LAFCO Sphere of Influence Review and Recommended Action. I think Tom had already addressed this.
Well, I addressed it, but there's two updates I need to give you as well.
Okay.
One is that, and I discussed it at the last meeting, that we weren't alone with the questions. San Diego Airport's issues. Arroyo Grande, Grove Beach also had issues. So we requested that LAFCO will not take a position on anything, and at the last meeting, they decided that they would bring it back to them.
Okay.
So that part is there. The one, I misspoke a little bit about both water and sewer to there, but we also provide them with the cleanups. We take their cleanups in another way, and but we never get the property taxes.
and even though we take sewer there, that's kind of right near where our truck lines also get there anyways. And we have a joint maintenance agreement with the board in that area as well. So our water prices are lower than AG's, but for most intent purposes, it's almost the same water because it's coming down the same pipe from Lopez. And I explained to the audience on the break that, AG, Grove Beach, Pismo, and Oceano had a very, very conscientious water management plan that we're executing. So we work together on it as a team. So,
excuse me, sir, is your mic on?
Sorry. I don't need to repeat that, do I? Okay. So that's the status, and I'm open to questions.
Okay, so we do provide them the water and sewer. That's what I thought.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So it sounds like the recommendation here, staff recommendation, would be we take no action.
Take no action.
Let me just ask you one question. Isn't there a wheeling charge in that area? Isn't Arroyo Grande charging us some type of wheeling charge down on that street? Or
yeah,
is it over on Housing that they're charging us?
There's a couple wheeling charges, but then we charge them wheeling charges as well for other areas too. So I don't have all the contracts in front of me, and I'm a little numb right now, but I can pull that and I can report that at the next meeting.
Yeah, I think the wheeling charges are on Housing and
well, I'll pull them all and give you guys a matrix so everybody understands.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any other questions for Tom on this? Director White?
No, but I just wondered why there was a wheeling charge on Halcyon when the water line comes directly from Oceano.
I couldn't tell you where they are right now.
I could. I'm sorry. Yeah. The two mobile home parks, they're under affordable housing, right?
Yeah.
So it was, since our neighbor doesn't have policy on affordable housing, I guess.
Yeah.
They just, I don't know why, but they don't, right? So when those two, when the wells dried up on Housing, right, AG agreed to take those two mobile home parks, right, until they could find another provider, which was Oceano. How it came
that's
about.
Where the water wheeling is.
That's
the
where
trailer
the water
park's not
is.
In the village of Halcyon.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Director Hurdle or Angela?
No, I have no question. No.
Okay.
Do we need a motion?
I don't think so. I think there's no action. So.
No, there's no action.
Moving on to item number 9B, purchasing policy, procedure, and resolution to adopt. Is this Molly's staff report?
This is Molly's.
That's what I thought. She and I talked about this.
Because at the last meeting, we there were some purchases we wanted to make, and we realized we didn't seem to have a purchasing policy as required by law. We did find a purchasing policy from 1985. It's very simple, basically. Well, I have it. It didn't really provide much direction. Well, I had it. It still is $5,000 or the maximum allowed by state, whichever is greater. So as the state limit raises, it automatically raises. It's a one-paragraph thing, so we really don't need to change it. And these policies and procedures are pretty straightforward. They do require bidding. From $5,000 to $20,000. It's kind of an informal quotation and bid process. As fits the circumstances, anything over $20,000, you need pretty much a formal written bid, put it out for publication. Pretty straightforward.
Are you looking at resolution 2012?
Yeah. Dash, and that's
dash, whatever it was, yes. Yeah. I didn't know what the number is.
It. Right.
14.
Okay.
14?
Thank you, Caroline. Does anybody have any questions for Molly on this particular item?
No, I'm glad. I was happy to see in the case that we would have to sole source because, say, one company carried a part or a tool or something. I was glad to see that spelled out.
Well, I tried to make it flexible enough that, we could still operate without being tied up for weeks and yet have it be consistent and fair and so that everybody was protected and everyone knew it the proper procedure.
And also, so too, is kind of that sometimes these parts are not interchangeable. Mm-hmm. So you and have to go with the original vendor.
Yeah.
So,
or whoever's making that one part. And there's an emergency provision.
Yes.
You know, that a purchase can be made, but it's got to be justified in a written report saying an emergency. So,
yeah.
Okay. The only comment I had is that on our bylaws under Section 4 purchasing limits, our bylaws talk about $7,500.
I know that. In which case they're inconsistent with the ordinance that
was my concern.
We found later. I just what is the wording of the bylaws?
I don't have them with me, but it mentioned $7,500.
I think the state limit might be $7,500. So
which
the
$5,000,
yeah, and it.
Well, then if the state limit is $7,500,
then we're okay.
Then my proposal is we just say the maximum allowable by the state.
I'm not sure I do.
Because it's higher than.
And take out the $5,000. Okay. Okay. That's fine.
It's not necessary because it's already outdated.
Purchases in excess of the maximum allowable by state under Section 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then take out whichever is greater.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to take out the entire rest of that.
Not being a nitpicker, but there's a typo.
That was a Carolina.
That's a
supposed
special.
To check for those. Carolina?
I didn't know there was a bus stop in Oceana because Carolina just got thrown under it.
That's a bus. It's a big bus. Yes. Okay, where's the typo?
Oh, it's in the header.
No way.
Supplies and equip. Equip.
Oh. No, it's not.
No, that's spelled correctly.
Spelled right.
There's an I in equipment.
Sorry. There is. It's right there.
I mean, I really, trust me.
Oh, on the first one, she's correct.
Yeah,
she's correct.
It's right here.
Oh, okay.
All right, Mary.
Oh, you're right.
And I also want to point out there is a typo on a sign out in our parking lot too.
Can't feel so bad.
And I just have to cringe every time I drive up.
Any other typos? Because I will do a final draft.
I think the final draft, just taking out that language that we talked about, just say the maximum allowable by state law. And other than that, I guess we could probably have a motion to approve it as modified. And then,
and then you could just sign it. Next
and I'll just sign it and whenever you have it ready and come by your office or come by here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hold on. Wait, is there a motion and a second first? Is there a motion to approve?
Yeah, I move that we accept resolution number 2012-14.
Is that as modified or as presented?
As modified.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Carol Ann, can I get a roll call vote, please?
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We have a new purchasing policy. We'll sign that as soon as it's final, or as soon as it's drafted back up. Moving on to item number 9D. Ballot initiative regarding the permanent sale of water. I think this is probably Molly as well.
It would be me. I have, if anyone wants, the actual ordinance, the initiative, but I put it out there to, they want to look at the problems with this. The county council did an impartial developer, and it was, I don't even remember the amount of water, but the proposal was 100 acre feet mm-hmm. per year, right? The proposal was that Oceano permanently sell that amount to this development. And they needed, the development needed that water in order to get moving, and they were trying to push the contract through very quickly. There's a lot of public outcry, in as much as water is one of the biggest assets of Oceano. And the sale was ultimately defeated by vote of the board of directors. Subsequently, the citizens of Oceano filed a petition, had it certified, to have put an initiative on the ballot prohibiting a permanent sale of water to an entity outside of Oceano unless there was a vote.
A vote by the people?
not clear, unless there is an election held prior to the sale. They did get enough signatures, and it was certified by the clerk, and therefore we had no option to change the language, to rewrite it, to do anything except put it on the ballot, which is what we're doing now in November. And the county council was required to prepare an impartial analysis of the measure, which they did. The proponents of the measure could have prepared for the ballot documents an argument in favor of, which was not done, and therefore we decided to not draft an argument against, and just to rely on the impartial analysis. So now we're coming up to voting. And the argument against is pretty much as set forth in the impartial analysis from the county council. It's one, probably not a legislative act, which are the only things that can be the subject of an initiative. An administrative or adjudicatory act is not a proper subject, and this is essentially the sale of an asset. And that's the district's, that's your job. It's not the a legislative function. That's part of what you do. So the ratepayers participate by electing representatives that will do what they want them to do. You know, and that's really the function of the board of directors. So I think that from the get-go, it's not a proper subject for a ballot, and is subject to challenge on that ground. As to the content of it, there's just so much wrong with it. And I want to preface this by saying this is not a bad idea. It's just that this particular measure is so unclear. Where it says an election should be held, it doesn't say what kind of election or the purpose of the election or the outcome of the election. It could be an advisory election, which the code provides for, which would simply be, do you want us to do this? It costs a lot of money, and it's not binding. It could be, and whether it's a special election, a local election, a general election, consolidated election, it simply doesn't say. And this subjects the board, no matter what decision they make, which path they go down, to a lawsuit from somebody on either side. Secondly, the fact that an election is held is all that's required. Board doesn't have to listen to or go by the results of the election. Doesn't say what the election will say. Is it, should we do this? Must we do this? Are we prohibited from doing this? You can word the ballot any way you want, and it doesn't say that you must follow the dictates of the election. So again, spend a lot of time and money, and you've got nothing that's enforceable. The details, it requires a report. All details of any proposed sale, that's almost unintelligibly vague. What details? You know, again, anything you do, any report that's written, will subject the board to a lawsuit, one side or the other. There's no way to define that, and we don't have a mechanism or the ability to clarify that. We must stick with the language that's worded. And the details, including the impacts to Oceano, again, this makes it even more vague and ambiguous. You know, what impacts? What, you know, so you put too much, you put too little, again, subject to lawsuit. It requires that the conclusions of the reports be mailed to all the ratepayers, to every registered voter. It's a huge cost. Doesn't say who's going to pay for it. What if the report is 50 pages? It's a huge cost. And again, there's nothing binding in it. You see, you send a report out, then 50% or whatever oppose it, you don't do it. And that can be done by resolution. It gives the ratepayers a chance to participate. Gives everyone a chance to say what they want. It maintains flexibility, and it's a lot less expensive. So there are, I mean, that's just one alternative that would accomplish the same goal.
So could those policies and procedures be written now? They didn't have to happen 30 days after this was certified?
No, they could be written any time.
Oh,
the problem is if no matter what was done between the time this was certified, this election had to happen. So we may have ended up with resolutions or ordinances or all kinds of inconsistent things on the books that would raise even more problems. You know, how are they inconsistent? Because this is so vague. Is it really inconsistent? Who knows? So, you could do it any time. It would be, you know, a tool. But this is going on the ballot. It cannot be changed. It will be voted on as written. And it's a yes or a no.
Okay. Well, as one of the people who are adamantly opposed to selling water rights, not opposed to selling water, and I'm opposed to selling on a permanent basis, but the water rights, I personally am going to vote no.
The board can take can choose to take a stand as an official board position on this.
Uh-huh.
That's permissible. You can't use public funds to do anything. You can't. No, but you can. Mm-hmm. The board can take an official position if it chooses.
May I, Karen?
Go ahead, Karen.
Could this board get a kind of policy that actually does what voters probably wanted when they did this petition? Could we get that in place before the election?
You could. You could do it by resolution. Yes.
But
the problem would be if this is voted, the resolution would become
null and
void or inconsistent.
But if we put a resolution in place prior to the election,
and then say, look, we've done what you wanted in a better way.
We've done in good faith what you've wanted, so maybe you should vote no on this.
Yes, and that's a good tool. Yeah.
And I was a petition signer, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm saying at least it would show that.
I mean, the goal is not bad. It's a good goal.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As written, it's really not workable.
I support this as an individual that actually collected signatures, and I know that there were a lot of people that wanted to stop initially that initial sale. But when you think about it, some of the feedback that I got from the people is that water belongs to the district, and they felt that because of the way this other situation went down, that it would be almost a check, double check situation, because we had people who had colluded and decided to sell and nobody knew.
Right.
And so that's where this came from. And it's really unfortunate that it's not as tight as it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, the goal is a positive goal.
Good, yes.
But this doesn't really achieve it. Because the bottom line is if you followed this and had the election, you could say, and spent all the money and all the time, you could still say, so what, I'm not going to listen to you.
So our recourse is just to let this go forward and see where the chips fall, or?
That's the only choice, yeah.
It's already going forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's already on the ballot.
But if we showed the voters that we had taken action that wasn't taken then, and we would at least have some transparency in saying, please vote no.
We would have the transparency, but the problem is that we don't have enough. Our time is limited because absentee and mail ballots are going out first week of October, and a majority of the people vote by mail-in ballots versus going to the polls. So I'm not sure we'd be effective enough to get that word out. That's the gate before us.
We could get one drafted quickly and put it up and talk about it at a special meeting, not make any final decision, because you don't want to look like you're having a special meeting to pass a resolution, you know, quickly. But to get it out there, we could get one drafted and out, you know, in the public domain.
To have to defend a yes vote, right? If people went and voted yes for this, which I just don't really envision, the people who came out for this, they understood the issue, you know, so, you know, a legislative analyst didn't write it. That's really what happened, you know. It happened hastily, but people voted with their hearts. They knew that that was community suicide to sell your water rights. So, first of all, I just don't envision people running to the polls to vote yes to harm themselves, you know.
But you don't.
As far as property owners go, okay. Secondly, is that I don't see it spending a lot of money to put together a policy or an open letter to the community and spending the money on mailing it out to the registered voters in our area. I see that as a wise use of dollars. It's 42 cents, 50 cents on each, you know, piece of mail, mailhouse costs, and drafting a letter.
You can't spend district money except on an impartial explanation, basically. So you can't campaign, you can't spend district resources on a campaign of that sort.
Right. Well, I don't want to spend any money to confuse people.
And that's kind of the problem. This, when you look at the ordinance, the goal is good. You know, if you're just glancing at it and think, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But when you read it, and that's what's confusing. You read it, and it's hard to find all the problems with it. But so it is kind of a concern.
Molly, if it's basically you're saying that this is. Can be challenged legally,
mm-hmm.
And basically it's not any good, really. Why wasn't it rejected at a different level, saying, well, this is just not an accurate piece of document that we can place on a ballot?
There is no mechanism for rejecting it at that point. That's the people's right. As long as it's less than 75 words and it's got the right... therefore be it ordained, essentially language, and that's signatures, it will be put on the ballot. That's the beauty of the initiative. You know, no one can say, no, we don't like it, no, it's no good. People get to put what they want on the ballot.
Have we heard from any of the people that circulated this petition how they stand now?
When we first, when Julie Rodewald contacted me about this ballot initiative because it had to be put on, I tried to contact all the people, and one of them's in the audience tonight. One has since passed, and two don't live in the area anymore, and one person never called me back. If you remember, we did have a discussion that we could have challenged this early, but the consensus was that the judges these days would much rather have it go to the voice of the people first and then let it run its course, and then you take your legal challenge later. And that was one of the options that we had early on. So we decided to go forward. And followed the rules and the instructions, and this is where we're at today. But it's such a hot issue that people are questioning that we need to put this out there. So hopefully when they're watching this that they'll get an idea that it's kind of a no-win situation that we're kind of in. But we did talk to everybody, and they were the people that I did talk to, and Kathy, correct me if I'm wrong, they were happy with the position that the board took at that time. And, you know, I kind of like the idea of doing the resolution that defines what needs to be done, but I think we need to do it after the people have to have their chance. Mm-hmm. And that's what the courts are going to say anyways.
Mm-hmm. And if If it does pass, we cannot do the resolution. You cannot do a clarifying resolution or ordinance. If it it's this or nothing. If it passes, this is it. And either have to overturn it in court or send something back to the voters, which would, you know, that's expensive and time-consuming either way.
Legally, as individual board members, can we campaign against it?
You can. You cannot use district funds to do so, but absolutely you can campaign against it.
Mm-hmm. So we can use our own funds?
Yes. That's your job.
But can we vote to oppose it as a board?
The board can't, yes, the board can.
No position. One is we can support the ballot initiative, and the third is we can not support the ballot initiative and support a vote of no.
But you don't have to even officially take no position.
That's
this,
true.
This was really just, you know.
That's true. And so, you know, is it the board's, is the board comfortable taking a position? Maybe is the.
Well, I'm between a rock and a hard place because I voted. I signed the petition.
Okay.
So two of us.
Well, yeah. I signed the petition too.
So there's three of us.
But it doesn't mean I signed the right thing.
It marries stuff.
You know, I was going with the intent that, you know.
Well, the petition still had value, and it, historically, at that time. It sent the message.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, there was that value to the petition.
Yes.
You know, we're not. I mean, I think even if we, it, just argument's sake, even if we take the position that it should be voted down, I think we can still recognize that there was that value to the petition and that the community's will was done.
Yeah, most definitely.
And, you know, that's,
public comments and public service.
Well, we didn't announce public comment before. But. The, and so, I mean, it's, and I think that's our.
One of the ladies involved who I would really like to hear from her.
That, I'm a lost Molly if she can do that because public. I think that's our goal is to effectuate the will of the public and to know what that is and to try to make sure that the public's benefit is best served.
I would like to hear from
so that, I'm, her. Molly, are we able to? Karen has a. Director White has a question.
What? Could we hear from the lady who's in the audience that did circulate the petitions and was very involved
in it. It's on the agenda. That's absolutely.
Because it's not a time for public comment, but I would like to hear what her thinking is to guide us, possibly.
I would, too.
Hell.
Kathy.
Oh,
I'm actually going to call her.
I didn't see Kathy
the meeting.
Hey, Kathy.
You want to chair Kathy?
Well, I miss half the discussion of why it isn't right.
Well,
but
I was going to say, I hope she didn't die. I talked to her last week.
I mean, briefly, just this.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying what they're saying. When we went around and talked to people, they do not want, the people that live here do not want the board to be able to sell our water rights like they were trying to do that time. I mean, you had some people that, we all kind of thought it was a little shady, to be honest with you, why they were trying to sell our water for such a little amount of money and who they were trying to sell it to. I mean, I don't care how you do it, but the people in the community don't want our water rights sold without a vote of the people. It was the idea. In other words, the board couldn't, you know, 5 years down the road then say, okay, now people have forgotten about this, so we'll sell our water rights.
Mm-hmm. Well, this certainly requires a vote, but the vote doesn't have any, it doesn't say what the outcome of the, what you need to do with the outcome of the vote. I mean, if I were on the other side, that's where I would challenge it and say, okay, you had a vote, but I don't have to follow it because it doesn't specify that. That's the fundamental deficiency in this ordinance.
If I remember correctly, the clerk recorder's office helped that initiative be worded. So,
well, there, I mean, there's, and so the county council did an impartial analysis, which I agree. There's a lot of things wrong with it, but there's other ways to achieve public participation and still give the board the flexibility to do what they need to do. So I mean, did you read the county council analysis?
No.
Okay.
One of the things
that, just that kind of laid out the problems with this.
Well, okay, I understand that, but see, we were probably led down the wrong path because that's how they told us to write it,
right.
The petition. So that's how we wrote the petition, and the people signed it. And I don't know why it wouldn't be just easy to, at some meeting in the future, as long as people say we don't want to sell our water rights, make a resolution saying this board or no future board can sell our water rights without a vote of the people.
You can. If this passes, however, this is the it cannot be clarified, it can't be modified, this is it. So any resolution that would be inconsistent in any way, shape, or form, you know, that this is what would rule.
Well, the only people I could see that would be disputing it would be board members who wanted to sell our water rights, excuse me.
Or a developer that wanted to buy them.
Mm-hmm. You mean somebody who would vote yes? Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, if the... I guess I'm not really sure how that's worded. I'm just saying, I just know everybody that we talk to do not want it to sell our water rights if this messes it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how we were told to word.
So you don't think that there's any way of reaching enough people to say, look, vote no, because
right.
That's what you want, that's what you intended to
right.
do.
Is I don't think you can.
Gosh, you have a lot of faith in the community.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
She just said you can't use district funds to get it out and tell them that. So.
Yeah.
Is there a copy of this?
I think it's the fault of the county for telling us that's how to word it.
What do you have? I have the county council's thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We could give her a copy of that. I think
it's attached to the agenda packet, isn't it?
Oh, I have it right here.
No.
Like,
no, just for your information. Thank you.
Well, I think what Kathy Young is saying is that the community's involved and the community's interested in mm-hmm. being a community and is cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
And so and that's what I take from one of the things I take from Kathy, besides don't sell my water.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the things I take from Kathy. And you know, I for myself, I'm happy to explore doing some limiting or putting a procedure in place for sell of water and that I think is appropriate. I think
yes.
I think that
nearly 700 signatures, and it was one of the first times that I've seen where the community galvanized.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And that energy really has not stopped since then. And the people spoke. They spoke as far as what it is they want done, and whatever way we can figure out to meet that, I think that's what we should be doing.
Well,
I don't know how to do it.
Well, I think you're right. I think at that moment when you and Kathy Young and there was a whole bunch of people that went through the community. That started from unlike I'd ever seen. I'd lived here for 6 years, bringing the community together as a community in a way that I had never seen before, and I think has continued to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the community has continued to grow, and I think that the community involvement and community cohesiveness coming since that, when was that, around January or February of 2011 when you guys did
yeah.
that? It was right around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that the community is just getting stronger and more of a community identity. And I think this was really, and we're going to look back in 5 years from now and say this was the start
mm-hmm.
of it. And so.
And I think that should be honored.
All right. That's democracy at work, right?
Yes, yeah, the best way that we can. But that's what we need to figure out is what is the best way to do it.
What I propose is we do nothing until this goes to the ballot. That's, you know, that we not spend time or effort or money trying to come up with our own thing that, you know, that's what I propose. I don't know about the rest.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer questions from anybody in the community who has questions. You can refer them. You can call me. Yes.
Well, Kathy, call Molly.
Could there be a possibility then in 2 years from this election that the community could redo this initiative to make it functionally like they want it to be?
Yes, you can draft, yeah.
So you could amend...
The only way to amend this is...
You could amend the initiative in 2 years by actually getting it better, the same message with the little, with the binding parts of it that needs to be done.
Yes, you can do that.
Okay.
Well, I always had a question whether or not, and I don't know the answer, whether or not this is authority of the OCSD that can be usurped by the voters.
And that's what it says here.
That would be the first level of judicial challenge, is that this is just an improper subject matter for a ballot.
Yeah, that was
a good argument.
Question.
This is an asset. You guys have the right to sell assets. It's like selling a truck.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. But we certainly could come back in January. No, we can't. We can't amend.
No, we can't amend anything. If it does not pass, we can come back and the board can adopt a resolution. There could be a new ballot initiative. You know, there's things like that that can be done. But if it does pass, then we have to decide whether we challenge it or wait for another lawsuit from somebody else.
Or wait 2 years and redraft.
Wait for the developers to line up.
Yeah.
Hopefully they do. Hopefully they find this acceptable. So is there any more discussion on 9D? Ready to move on? Is there a motion regarding taking a position, or does the board want to?
I think actually, if you take an official position, it has to be by resolution.
We're starting to get more will serves every day,
mm-hmm.
And that means more revenue to the district, and it means more people are coming to Oceano. So that's a good thing. So
that's
I'm asking for your approval on this will serve order.
And Mr. McCall's not here.
No, he's not here.
Yeah. I'm glad he's not here because I would have moved it to the front of the agenda to get him.
Yeah.
Is there any discussion? Or is there a motion? And you've double-checked all these calculations?
Oh, does anybody live 500 feet away?
I don't believe so.
On what street?
Rochelle.
I don't even know where it is.
I don't
is.
Know either.
Oh, I saw this. Did you go to the retainer wall or something?
We double-checked these numbers. Yes, they have. They've been gone through by staff and the engineer and the fire department and South County Sanitation.
All right. And if there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we accept and will serve APN 062-303-081. Case number PMT 2012-00271.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Closed session item number 11A, public employment.
Are we, are you going to take public comment before we go into close so people don't have to hang out?
Should we move the agenda item number 15? Anybody that has public comment regarding it?
Do we have public comment before we go into closed session?
Hearing nobody, we'll go to closed session. 11A, public employment. This is regarding the district engineer. For those who don't know, that is the Wallace Group. Record, I did advise John Wallace of this closed session agenda item. And so. All right, we'll call this meeting back to order. Oceana Community Services District, it is 8:38 p.m. We've just returned from item 11A, closed session. There's no reportable action. Moving on to item number 12, board member comments. Why don't we start with Director Angelo?
I have none.
Excuse me. Nor I.
All right, I'll go down to Director White. Any comments this evening?
Yeah, I just thought the public should be reminded about the Oceana Candidates Forum.
Oh, yes.
Tuesday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. right here. Come meet the candidates, of which I am one. And it's being hosted by the Oceana Advisory Council, of which I am a member, and the League of Women Voters, which I am not. And also, San Luis County Department of Planning and Building is holding a...
Yes.
If people don't know what infill is building all the lots that are empty around the mm-hmm. lots that are filled, mm-hmm. and they're going to look at infrastructure, public facilities, infill in a complete community survey of Napomo and Oceano. And the first workshop will be Wednesday, October 3rd. Oh, boy. And it doesn't say where
it is. It doesn't have the time or the place here.
It's up at...
No, it's up... It's going to be in Napomo and Oceano.
Well, it's going to be up at, I think, Monarch Dunes or somewhere.
Trilogy. Do you know what time it is, Tom?
Seven.
No, but we'll post it on the website.
Okay. It is on the website. Yeah. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Karen. Miss Lucy?
No, that was it.
Okay. I was just reminded tonight, talking to Kathy Young, I think that vote went down when I was been on the board about, 3 weeks?
Yes.
Or something. And
I saw your eyes get this big.
I felt like that whole, forgive me, Father, I know not what I've done. But I remember also, and there was really a take-home message for me, and it was the community banding together mm-hmm. for a purpose, mm-hmm. and that couldn't be ignored. And so, I still hear from everybody in the community, and I think it really raised a level of awareness that wasn't there before. And so, bringing up these discussions again, we'll see what happens with the vote. Those are my comments for this evening. Moving on to item number 13, late received written communications. Tom?
I received some late communication. I've been asked to meet with the...
Well, they took it from the people of Oceano.
Yeah, well, maybe... it's too soon to say what's going on, but I will take Director Hurdle with me and I will report back at the next
meeting. Is that Jim Hogenboom you're making?
Yes, Jim Hogenboom.
I would be happy to go to that meeting, too, if you wanted me to.
I got to limit you to two.
Okay.
So if you're more than welcome to join.
It's okay. Well, but I'm just offering.
Yeah, no, I know.
Any other communications, Tom?
No.
Okay. Number 14, future agenda items. Let me start with Director White. Is there anything you'd like to add to the agenda for next time or the time after?
None other than what's already been discussed.
Okay. Ms. Lucy?
I have a question that I need answered. Since, everybody works on water now, I can't figure out who's really working, the water. But a couple people have mentioned to me is that my office used to be on Grand Avenue, and when it would rain in this area, Grand swells. It's unbelievable the amount of water that comes down Grand Avenue. It, since they have curbs, we don't, so we can't measure that kind of stuff. It probably gets between 3 feet and more wider. So we're talking about a lot of water. And it runs down Grand, and then it goes, it does go into Meadow Creek. And so when that gentleman
Larry Prince
brought up that point, I thought that actually that's a fair question. Where does that water go? Is it going into our trunk line? Is it going through our system? Is it contributing in any way to the soot that has almost killed my dog last week? I mean, really, my dog got lost under that stuff. She thought it was grass. She jumped. She sank. Mm-hmm. I would like some answers to that, and I don't know how to get them.
What I can do is I can ask Greg Ray, the Director of Public Works.
Pardon me, who?
Greg Ray, Director of Public Works for Grover Beach, to maybe make a presentation on that.
Yeah, or even just a written report. I don't want to make a big deal out of it, but it a couple people have asked me that question, and I think it's a good question.
I do have a question also on, while we're bringing up kind of obscure but... Yeah. Obvious things. And I have some concern about 4th Street
and from Baden to Pacific Coast Highway. And I understand that that is county, mm-hmm. but it's Oceano, mm-hmm. and we have horrible potholes there, and mm-hmm. we have terrible flooding when it rains. And there's never really any discussion about doing anything about that area. So I would like some information as to how we could get that corrected. And as far as next meeting's agenda, I would like to have a discussion on the formulation of a permanent revitalization committee. That's it for me.
Okay, who stole my glasses?
Obviously, I think the two things they're going to be on is the status of the spill in the sanitation district. That'll be on our next meeting. Mm-hmm. And then I think in November we'll have just a status of the vote from this particular ballot item. And that's it. Other than that, it's just.
So let me recap then. We want to. We're going to request from Grover Beach a staff report on their stormwater collection and distribution in the Meadow Creek. I'm going to write a letter to Public Works on 4th Street, the potholes and the flooding. We're going to have a resolution about the revitalization committee and then status of the spill. So that's it.
Have we heard anything back on the Oceano specific plan and the state? When were they coming back? Do you guys remember?
I do have some information. I know that they're scheduled to go to the county mid next month, and I believe that they're coming to us before then. I just slipped at it. I had it out for a reason this evening. But it should be almost any day now that they're contacting us, and I was thinking that if they don't, that we should contact them, because according to the schedule that I have...
I thought it was October.
They were coming back. They presented, right. They're going to be presenting to the Board of Supervisors. Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay, and I'll see if they would...
They're taking it to the.
Didn't we have one a couple months ago? I think.
Yeah, to us.
Yeah, we had one.
Zach got one.
But they're going to come back again before they go to the Board of Supervisors.
Well, you'll let us know.
Yeah. Yes, I will.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
That's then we already did item 15, which was public comment. And I think we're on 16, unless anybody else has any comments. Director Hurdle's still poking her fingers mm-hmm. around
yeah.
in that paper.
Okay, actually, it looks like they're going to come here in October, and then the Board of Supervisors in January and February for their final presentation.
What information do we expect them to talk about? The scope of the development, mm-hmm. dollars, grants?
Grants, okay. I think what it, and from what I gathered, they're going to come back with the final renderings mm-hmm. and the projects that were most cited.
Is in the daytime.
And at that time, we will. And I think there's a minimum of 5 projects that they'll be presenting to us. And at that time, we can yay or nay. And then I think from there, it goes to the county for review and approval, and once that's done, it comes back to us, and we can prioritize how we want and when we want to do these things in conjunction with the county and the consultants requesting the grant money mm-hmm. to get the projects done.
And this includes roads, buildings.
Roads. Yes, it's everything. It's like the aesthetics, the trees, the sidewalks, how we want them to go in, the bike trails, and whatever it is, then we will prioritize how we approach it, you know, and then go along with the grant money. And one of the things with the revitalization committee is they. Once we get that established, their first priority or project is going to be looking at establishing a farmer's market. That will give them the groundwork to be up and operating when the first real projects come through. So we're kind of excited about that. Because the farmer's market was part of the community vision. Mm-hmm. And so they'll be working on that piece. And we have some very interesting people who are coming to these meetings with some really fabulous ideas. And I can't wait to get them started. And then they can take up some of the slack with some of the other issues that are going on, you know, with the revitalization, how different projects may impact it.
Right.
You know, so you know they'll be on the ground working, ground floor working, and that's very exciting to me that we can be going in that direction. So I'm excited.
As am I. Thank you. Anything else? Or is there a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out we still have a lot of problems on Highway 1 with people encroaching on living on the side of the road and leaving multiple trash
behind. And so this weekend there was another large cleanup. Yeah. Probably, you know, 5 to 10 big roll-off dumpsters that had to come in and haul away the garbage. So it was a really, really bad scene down there. And on that note, I have a picture of a 5-foot diamondback rattlesnake that I took at the butterfly reserve. So watch where you're stepping.
Oh, man. I didn't want to hear that.
Well, you might not want to. Yeah, I was really surprised. And he let me take his picture. Didn't fight me at all.
Is this the butterfly right here?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I have one question.
Yes.
Lori, have we heard anything more about the sidewalks? Or no, that was Linda Austin that was working on the sidewalk.
No, they're still there. They're under the ice plant.
Yeah, they had to clean up the ice plant. I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very much under the ice plant.
Someday they'll get dug up.
Which sidewalks where?
All the way down Coast Highway.
Yeah.
Oh. Highway 1.
Highway 1 at where?
Highway 1 from where the bridge stops.
Really? There's
pretty good.
There's sidewalks under there? Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is.
He's very big. No, he didn't rattle at me. He just smiled. Stuck out his tongue a little bit.
Alligators, you know.
I got two of them.
That's right.
Did he not bite you?